It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
We have a very special guest. You guys have heard him on the show before. He's from our Bible study group.
I'm Ronnie.
Yeah, boy.
First time without a group.
It's first time without a group, and actually first time with the headphones on.
It's nerve-wracking without the group.
You don't have nobody there to protect you.
Yeah, no buffers.
I don't have Tanner to take over.
Oh, yeah. This is our first episode in the new booth.
Yes, sir.
It's been quite a journey.
It's been interesting. It's been a run.
Really coming into this has been quite the journey. We've been talking about it on the show. Me and you've done a lot of work, a lot of planning, a lot of talking.
Yep.
Trying to figure out kind of what we were going to do.
Yep.
Last minute, a couple weeks ago. It was last Monday. Finally come up with a color scheme.
Yep.
Really hammered it out.
It's looking fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. It really finally sets the vibe.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's very warm and homely.
Yeah. I mean, you remember when we were first starting and you were like, you know, my 8-year-old self is kicking myself in the ass because it's like the coolest fort ever.
Yeah, because when it's what it was, when we'd roll the curtains back, it's like a fort.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that my 8-year-old me is like kicking the door in like, hey, dude, look what we got.
Yeah. And this one is like, it just put that on steroids. It's like so much cooler.
But now my 35-year-old me is like, dude, check this out. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah. And if you guys haven't checked it out yet, like we've got TikTok. We're going to have TikToks out there. We've got social media stuff on Instagram and Facebook showing the progress and all that. And we have a quick video that we recorded, introducing ourselves to the new studio. And first episode in the new studio, we have a guest.
You know, I didn't sit down at the table in the other one, in the other podcast room.
Yeah.
But sitting in this one, it feels, I mean, one, it says vibe, but it feels very professional.
Thank you. That was kind of what we were going for. Yeah.
Well, that's 100% what we were going for. Everything that we did this go around, we planned. You know, before, and we've talked about this too, before we sat at a little table up against your window in that bedroom and we sat beside each other and had to turn our heads and look at each other.
Little tiny desk.
Yeah. Dude. And it was like, that was a joke. And but we never stopped. It was like, okay, look, we need a table.
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually talked about buying a table at that time. And it was like, dude, no, I'm going to build one.
Yeah.
And I was immediately pissed at myself. Like, as soon as I got done, I was like, this sucks, dude.
Nah.
It was this good. Go around, we planned everything a lot different. We actually set a little foldable table out here.
Yep.
Pulled some measurements, kind of see the length that we needed.
I think it worked out very well as far as how the dimensions, like.
Yes. Yeah, we actually have room.
Yeah,
behind us. Our guests have room. We can sit two.
Yes, well,
I'm very on that comfortable side.
Yeah, we could ultimately have four on the podcast very comfortably.
Notice the leg placement under you.
Oh yeah,
you can roll your chair in, and we still have room. That, you know, because I was notorious for hitting the legs with my knees.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to hit the legs with my knees no more.
No, not possible. So all of that. Also, at the same time, we are transitioning into a new logo.
Yes.
Which will be more prevalent on everything we do. Love the old logo. Obviously, the neon behind me is our old logo, and I'm not. Obviously, we're going to continue to use that.
Yeah, the T-shirt behind me is the old logo.
Correct, correct. And we're going to continue.
The sign behind me is the old logo.
We're going to continue to use that stuff because we can't go away from the original. But we found that the new logo that was designed for us by Brittany again, it's a little, just a little more less time consuming when it comes to generating the merchandise and stuff like that. So it'd be a little more efficient.
Yeah.
Plus, it's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And our new table has the new logo on it.
Yes. We talked about building a brand and branding the table, yeah. Which would have been extremely difficult. A, heating that big of a piece of metal to try to burn that logo. I mean, yeah. It's 2 foot by 2 foot. That would have been impossible.
Yeah. Been very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The reason is I don't own anything that we could
heat
that up to burn it. And then two, the cost aspect of that would have been significantly higher.
Yep.
So we just did a 2-piece vinyl logo. We laid it down and epoxied over it. And it's absolutely bonkers.
It is gorgeous. I told you when we were putting the logo on it, like, dude, we should have stamped it with a one of one. It's the only one in the world, dude. It's the only one in the world.
We can still do it with a Sharpie. Like, but we should. We should sign.
Have the signature.
There you go. There you go.
Sign the logo with a Sharpie.
One day it'll be worth a lot.
Hey,
I like how positive you are.
I love that. And hey, real fast, before we move into prayer, because we haven't done that yet. Brother, I just want to thank you for all the effort that you put in, because
this is a team effort.
It is. But this is your avenue. If it was me building a table, it wouldn't be standing right now. And beyond that, I know you took a lot of extra time out to be out here putting things up and doing things. And you had a vision, and I appreciate your vision. I feel like it's, even if we might not have seen things the same at the same time, now that I see it the way you see it.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
Perfection. That was my thing is, like I said, we talked last night and I had to apologize. Cause I was like, man, I'm sorry. I was kind of probably being an ass, but it wasn't that I didn't appreciate what you were doing. I was holding myself so accountable for launching this part of this.
Yeah.
This is my avenue. This is what I'm good at. This is the kind of stuff that I really I'm a perfectionist. OCD kicks in. OCD and ADHD at the same time are not good. The chemicals don't mesh very well. And so I was kind of having a freak out moment because I just wanted everything to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like, I'm you know how I am about like symmetrical and how things are like that.
Yeah.
I didn't like how I couldn't have my hands on every part of what was happening. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I got you.
I didn't like, okay, when that, I called you and I was like, hey, what's going on with the neon?
Yeah.
Why is it right there? Cause I walked in, I looked at it, I was like, oh man, I don't want. So I called, I was like, hey, why is it right there? You told me it made sense at that And then at that point I was like, okay, I totally get that. I totally understand what you're saying. So then it was like, okay, well, I'm going to doll this up and kind of put sound panels around it to make a little piece, you know, like kind of.
The asymmetry created symmetry, right?
Yes, like, yes. Yeah, absolutely. But I totally understand what you were saying. Yeah. It just, when I walked in, I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. First off, I walked up to the on-air sign.
Okay.
Did you see where it was at? Did you see the picture
y'all
of where
told
it was
me
at?
Last night? Yeah.
Dude, it was like, it was 2 inches off the side of the door. And so I walk in, I'm like, what is this? And then
I knew when I left, I was like, oh, that'll be moved tomorrow.
It got moved that day.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Oh, what a mess.
Anyways.
But still, again, you know what? It kind of something that we were talking about last night, and hopefully the conversation takes us there. We just have to understand that each of us has a different part, right? Like, but it's equal, right? It's a different role, but it's equal. Yeah. In the grand scheme of things, what you do is phenomenal and what I do is phenomenal. We just don't do the same things. Yeah. And if we did the same things, we'd be fighting each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I trusted it and I trusted your judgment. And I think that what happened and what we have here, and look, if you haven't checked it out already, you should. This thing is legit. I mean, we had, this is Bumper Sticker Wisdom Central. This is what this is.
This is our hub. This is our distribution center.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. So. And so everything from this point forward gets launches from that. And so we'll stop wasting everybody's time, and I'll say a quick prayer.
Yeah, Brother John's going to say a prayer, and we'll get started.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've already done and all that you're about ready to do. Father, we just want to submit ourselves to you. We ask that anything that comes into our minds, into our hearts, and reaches our tongues, that it be ordained and timed just for you. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, and that you can't help but be good. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, man. Well, that was long-winded. We got all that introduction.
Okay. That's okay.
Ronnie, how you doing, bro?
Man, I'm good. I'm good.
How's it feel to be on that side of the mic with the headphones on?
It's nice. It's nice. Different. It's a lot more comfortable than I was, than I thought it was going to be. I was real worried about, you know, being nervous, being afraid to talk, and
you're one of the only ones, though, out of the group. There's only a select few that actually participate when we do our group recordings.
Well, if you remember the first one that we did as the group, me and Kevin were about the same.
Yeah.
I barely talked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that he's come a long way.
I was
way.
Also sitting between Pops and Tanner, so.
That's a tough place.
Oh, yeah, that's a tough spot to sit.
That is a tough spot to sit because they'll snatch.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
The mic from you.
Tanner, the second especially. One we did. Tanner, he didn't feel as good or something.
We were
here.
Yeah,
that
and,
one was here.
And it was right post your surgery. It was our first episode post your surgery.
He had backed off a little bit and really gave me room to talk. And
he just, his grandmother had just been buried is what it was. And so he wasn't in he wasn't emotionally in the greatest place that day, but he still graciously showed up and did his part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was, everybody had to come to me because I couldn't travel.
Yeah. Yeah. That was at your dining room table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was in there. Inside.
While we were still planting, we brought everybody out here. Like, everybody, you're here today. Yep. So you were here that night when we were like, look, this is going to be it. This is going to be the new studio.
Yeah, we actually brought everybody out here and it's like kind of, hey.
Check it out.
There was a dollhouse attached to this wall behind me.
Yeah. Gone.
Now it's now a doghouse.
I mean, realistically, it's really hard to kept it.
Well, yeah, but I no. I still needed some shop, and that thing takes up, you know,
well, it went from 72 square
feet of it. Yeah. It takes 72 square feet of shop away from me.
Yeah,
it's good. That thing coming out of the that's a big door. I mean, that's 12 by 16. That's a big door, and that thing barely came out. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I remember you sending me pictures when you were pulling.
I don't know about this. Like,
I think on the technicality, it'd just be a house more than a doghouse because there were people staying in it at one point.
Yeah,
so.
There was a bed.
It used to be an Airbnb.
Yeah, it was an Airbnb. This whole area that we have right here used to be an Airbnb.
Yeah,
and it worked out great.
This was basically like living. There was a TV there. There was a couch here. There was a little bar that came out with two bar stools on it. And then there was the room behind us.
Yeah.
And it was like super tiny, but these people had this thing booked.
Really?
24/7. Every day. And this thing went for $95 a night.
Airbnb's become a lot more popular than using a hotel room.
$95 a night for this.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, you know what?
I mean, it's no smaller than a hotel room, like a motel room. Really.
No, but when we looked at the house when we first looked at it.
I wouldn't be sleeping in that
thing. When I walked in there, I was like, dude. Like, I walked in, there's a full-size bed in there, and there's a twin-size bed up on the loft part, and there's a little ladder. And I was like, who's staying in the loft? No. Like,
children only.
Yeah, clearly.
Right. You were about to say something about your daughter.
So we were talking about, you know, Airbnb's become more popular. I don't know if I would have stayed in that. My daughter would roll off the bed and me and my wife wouldn't fit on the lower bed. But that's really what we've, if we go out of town, that's what we've transitioned to. It's, she's three. She didn't like sleeping in new places.
Yeah.
You feel so uncomfortable at a hotel with a child like that. Airbnb, it makes it so much easier.
It's a little house.
You're not worried about upsetting the neighbors.
Right, right. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's my favorite part of traveling is hotels.
Really?
Yeah.
When we went to Denver, we used a hotel instead. Oh, man, I like hotels.
I love hotels. Love hotels. Like you, especially like you find one that's like not like bougie, but they got a dope bar.
Just under, yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this place, like you walk in and this could be the freaking Crab Shack Motel, but you're just like, man. And then you walk by and they got like this super dope bar.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's the spot.
Oh, yeah, this place is hopping right now. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome.
And it can only be three bar stools, you know what I mean? But if it's just like like they're playing a little bit of music, and you know, it's like you got a cool bartender, and you just like the vibe is all set.
Yeah, yeah,
love those. Love those.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, Ronnie, so what? We'll say roughly a week or so ago, you've been saying for a while that you wanted to come on the show, but you weren't sure when, right? And then last week, I'm going to tell you a little secret. you were out here, and we were kind of putting stuff up and getting things ready and everything, and you're like, I'm going to be out here for the first episode. And there was a part of us that were both kind of like, he's going to change his mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm curious what made you this time be on it, like, this is what I want to do.
So what it really is, I'm real bad about, I'm not, if I commit to it, I'll do it. Now, right. If I just say I'm going to do it, it'll get pushed off. But if I set a date,
like it's done,
like this is when this is happening.
Yeah.
It'll get done.
Nice.
So like, that's like, after we had talked about it, I had thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And then like when we had come out here and I wanted to be a part of the bigger part of this.
Yeah.
It was, I have to set a date and commit myself to make it happen.
Right.
Cause I'm real big on, if I've made a commitment to do it on this date, I'll be there.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, totally makes sense.
Yep.
Well, and, I want to clarify that if it wasn't for last Monday's turnout,
yeah,
we would have been further behind. I don't know that. It would have been a struggle to get everything ready.
Man, I don't know. The amount of work that you did between Saturday after we left the party and Monday night when we come to help, all by yourself.
Tanner's diaper potter.
I was impressed. Well, out here, I was like, whoa.
I did it Sunday. So I'm finally starting to get to that point where I can physically, I'm what? 2 months out of ish, about yeah. 2 months and a week out of surgery.
Mm-hmm. It was the week of Christmas or week after Christmas.
It was December 16th was surgery date.
Okay. So this is March.
So I'm 3 months, almost
3 months,
almost 3 months, post surgery. And, so I'm getting to where I'm moving. Well, as you saw, like I jumped up on the countertop and I'm getting back to where I used to be. I'm more active and I can move more freely now than I could before my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad it was getting. I was like pretty crippled up.
Maybe a little too much.
Yes.
Yep. I think plugging that computer in was a little much.
Well, no, because Sunday I decided I was going to go balls out in the back. Well, yeah, tore out 15 raised beds and moved 171 stepping stones, and I'm supposed to only be lifting 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I moved 171 stepping stones.
So, you know, I'm young and I don't think I would have done it.
Yeah, but where I was going with this was, I'm so goal driven.
Yeah.
Everything, like, I'm not good at a lot. Like I'm not good at being like, I'm a horrible teacher. Horrible teacher. I've had ask anybody that's worked for me.
You got to have patience to be a teacher.
Yeah, and I don't have patience. Everything for me is boom, 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 boom. It's always efficiency. Yeah. Like, okay, what can I can get this much done in this amount of time. And then, you know.
Yeah.
So everything that I was doing, I did that on a Saturday or on Sunday, the Sunday after the diaper bash.
Yeah.
I was even sending him pictures. I was like, no, he was like, dude, like, slow down. And then I was like, don't worry, I'm done for the day. And then I sent him like 30 minutes later, I sent you a message like, hey, all the wallpaper's down. You're like, dude, what are you doing?
I thought you were done for the day.
That's what we were coming out here for. Well, yeah,
I texted you at like 5 o'clock on Sunday and said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. I was going to send you the clips. I was like,
you were.
I was like, I was going to ask you, hey, man, check them clips. Yeah, let me know which one you like.
Check it out.
And then you text me or like showed me all the work you'd done. And it was like, it's 5 o'clock. And he's like, I'm done for the day. And I was like,
but you were like, okay, when you go in, I put some stuff on Teams.
Yeah.
And so you were like, check it out. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't even get out of the shop. Like I went through the door. And I went out there, and I turn around, and I come right back in.
He tripped out this wall.
I came in with a ladder. Like, I went out there, and I came in with a ladder. And then I was like, I tore all the wallpaper off. I started doing all the trim work with the paint. And I started doing all this stuff, and then I was like, dude, I'm gonna jack around, and there's not going to be anything for anybody to do.
You know, that's not really that bad of a thing, though, if you think about it, because it just shows your dedication to what y'all are building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
for sure.
Yeah.
There's one thing I know for a fact about my brother Jason is like when he gets it in his mind to get it done, it's done. Like you're not going to stop it. It's about to happen. Mm. Right. And like if I show up to help, I'm just dragging me along. Like, okay, move that, do that, yeah, do this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's fine. I know my place and I'm cool. Well, with that.
But in all seriousness, a lot of the times when like you know now yeah. Like I'm not going to call you and be like, hey, I need help.
Yep.
You have to call me and you'll be like, hey, can I come help you?
I'll be there.
Yeah, can I come help you? And I'm like, yeah, come on. 90% of the time, that's my entertainment. That's like when we did all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we went, we did some shopping, we went and looked for the wood for the table. We wanted to make sure that we got the right everything. We wanted everything to be kind of perfect.
Yep.
I needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I needed to like
I'm gonna hold this board. Hey, yeah, can you slide it this way? Yeah. That's about like, the extent of the work I did.
Well, no. But when you come out, it's like, okay, I'd already been in here for a couple hours by myself that morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we left, it was like, okay, now I got someone to talk to. I'm not Because, dude, like, if I get in the zone, it's game over.
Yeah.
Like, it's game over. Yeah. And then, you know, my wife has come out here a couple times, and I've been working, and she comes out, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, ah.
Same thing I was doing earlier.
Yeah, like, can you please, like, do-do-do. Which, it sounds horrible because does, then I turn around, and I'm like, you don't even, you know, like, come hang out with me, like come love on me. But then I shoot her out, you know, so I got to really kind of watch what I do. But
it's not that you don't want her there. It just kind of interrupted the flow. You know,
but anyways, none of this is possible without God's guidance. I mean, everything that we've done, everything that we've talked about.
Yeah.
This, and me and you talked about this last night, as a matter of fact,
yeah.
Just kind of how this whole situation played out. Like everybody knows this story, but I'm going to beat a dead horse and say it anyways.
Beat off a dead horse?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Sorry. Have you not seen Gen X Talks?
Yeah. Sorry. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry.
He's like, he goes in and he's telling his dad like, it's like beating off to a dead horse. And his dad's like, what did you just say? And he's like, it's a metaphor, you know, like killing one bird with two stones. And his dad's like, you cannot be this stupid. Dude, it's freaking hilarious. Anyways, we started this on a whim. Bible study. We started this. We were sitting there hanging out at Bible study. Everybody's leaving, and you were talking about a podcast. And I was like, when we start?
Yep. Instantaneously.
So everything really got kind of foggy there for a minute because we're like, okay, because I was like, dude, what are we going to do? Just set up a cell phone? We're just going to record this? Like, yeah. You're like, no, that's not how this works.
No.
So we had, you had a little soundboard.
It's in that box in there. It's called a Scarlet something. It's this big.
Yeah, you had this little bitty, it looks like a post-it note, basically. Not really, but an index card. About the size of an index card.
Yeah.
We sat side by side at a table with this TV in front of our face.
Yeah.
In like, I mean, we're sitting at a table that's probably 4 foot long, 2 foot wide, side by side with this, I don't know, what is that, a 42-inch TV probably?
It's a 42, yeah.
Of a 42-inch TV. The TV was just as long as the table, and it's 2 foot from our face. You know what I mean? And we're sitting side by side looking at each other, like having to turn our heads and look at each other while we're talking. And everything started to domino from there.
Yeah, video wasn't even part of the conversation at that point.
But God had such a strong hand in everything that we talked about.
Yeah.
We started, okay, well, we need to do this. Okay, well, we need to do that. Yep. And everything kind of started to fall into place. The house thing, we weren't looking for a house. We ended up buying a house.
Yep. It fit all the needs.
It fit all the needs.
And this was a bonus. This wasn't part of the needs. No.
And this room was actually going to get tore out. So the little house thing, the little dollhouse, that was going to get drug out there and be a doghouse. These two walls were going to get tore out because I wanted my shop space back.
Wanted space, yeah.
So this was nothing to me. It was nothing.
Yeah.
My wife kind of mentioned as I'm walking out one day out of this room, we're kind of talking, we got people like wanting to see what's going on in here and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, dude, you got a cool kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, this is not going to be a kitchen. This is not going to be a kitchen. Yeah, there's some countertops, but this is not going to be a kitchen. Well, as we're walking out, she's like, well, you could use it for a podcast room.
Yeah.
And I was like, ka-tink.
Ding, 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 ding.
Light bulb.
I remember this dude sending me pictures from the internet like, hey, what do you think about this being a podcast studio? I was like,
yes.
Word. Yeah, yes. Hell yeah.
And he was like, what? Like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So God really had his hand in that too. I'm not saying that God put this house on us like, oh, you need to do that because this is going to be the podcast room. That's not what happened. We weren't looking for a house, but we found this house because it fit the needs. My mom lives with us. She has her own house.
Yeah.
We have our house. This was just kind of a bonus area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything kind of worked out perfectly.
Mom's apartment is like legitimately one of the coolest little apartments ever. Dude,
it's basically a barn dominium.
Yeah.
It's 100%. It's the coolest little house I've ever seen that.
Yeah. It's what I wish I had, not wish, but what I had hoped for when Terry and I were looking for our first house, you know what I mean? Because we knew Dad was coming with us, and we wanted, like, you call it mother-in-law's quarters, right? Like, it's just like a separate little apartment type situation. Everything we looked at, we saw a lot of possibilities, but nothing that was, like, done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then our house ended up being, it's just the right fit for us right now, you know what I mean? So, anyway, it's cool, too, though, just to think about, okay, you're saying, well, maybe God didn't say go into this house because this is for the podcast. Maybe not directly, but in the grand scheme of things, if it hadn't have been for this, God couldn't have worked through it, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you had to submit to it. Yeah. You guys had to choose the space.
Yeah.
And then you get here, and your wife goes, well, what if it was a podcast room?
Yeah.
You probably didn't even think she gave a shit about that.
No. Well, and two, but everything was so like chaotic at that time. Like when I walked, I walked in here and I was like, I can't wait to tear this thing down. I cannot wait to tear this thing down. Like it just, everything about it just like pissed me off, you know? And then after she said that, I was like, And then I started actually thinking, I was like, okay, wait, this actually makes sense.
Right.
We pull the dollhouse out. We wall this in. We kind of use that archway as a decoration. We do this, we do that. And then everything kind of started falling into place.
It's kind of like the podcast itself.
Yes. 1,000%.
Right.
We've talked about this 100 times too. And I think I just said it when we first started recording. I was like pushing the envelope for this to be opened up before the end of the year, everything really kind of worked out perfectly as far as timing goes.
Yeah, it really did. It worked out exactly right.
But God has had his hand in every single thing that we've done. And, man, I can't be thankful enough for the opportunities and for how everything's progressed.
I'm so curious about where it's going. I'm so curious about what he has next, right?
Like, that's the great mystery, though. That's what keeps you pushing forward is the not knowing of what greatness is ahead.
Right, yeah. Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah. But we have to have people along the journey who are there to support and to go, bro, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, right? Why are you being so negative right now? Don't you remember all the things?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we forget. We get in these moments and you get discouraged over how it is going, how it isn't going, where you are, where you aren't, what the studio's not quite what I was hoping for, or whatever, whatever, all the things. And there has to be somebody there to go,
what are you doing?
Stop for a second.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Slow down. Soak it up.
Pay attention. You know what I mean? That's what the stop and smell the roses things means.
Dude, we talked. I mean, we both of us had been frustrated a couple times. It's like, I told you, like, dude, you're going to have to quit paying attention to the analytics.
Yeah. I stepped away for quite a while. Yeah.
We both wanted to see it grow. And I was like, dude, look, this is helping me by not seeing it.
Yeah.
Like, take a breath, step back from it. And you get to a point where you get, and I think that me and you have been so guilty of this multiple times throughout this journey. You get to a point where you want to see the progress so much that you forget the purpose.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, we forget that we made that agreement between the two of us that we were going to do God's will willingly, regardless if it reached one or a million.
Yeah.
That we were going to continuously every week sit down here and do God's will willingly.
Yep.
And when you take the analytics out of it, it's a lot easier.
That's true.
You know, you were going back to where y'all started with the little table, looking at each other side by side. It's one of those humble beginnings that you'll always be able to look back on.
And see, oh yeah.
No matter how far we go, look at how far we've come from.
Oh yeah.
And it's when you get caught up in all those moments and you're worried, like this, for example, you're worried about how this looks or how that looks, you know, you can look back and go, doesn't matter. Look at where we started.
Yeah. It reminds me of something that our guest Matthew had last year. Remember, he's the one who talked about God loves the small beginnings, and he shared a scripture with us talking about, you know, those humble beginnings. And like, dude, think about this. And then we need to kind of step away because we're getting too much where we're kind of beating on this a little too much. You're doing it. I know. I knew you were going to laugh. I knew it.
Okay. You're really
Here's You're the thing. Doing it. Kevin, we love you. You're doing it. No. Here's the thing, though. Think about how many opportunities you had to just say it. Nah. Mm-mm. You know what I mean?
How many exit points did you have? You could have walked away. No harm, no foul, walk away.
But we're doing it.
You're doing it.
We're doing it every single day, every single week.
I think, thank God. I think together between the two of us, both of us are so hard-headed that neither one of us were going to, like, I wasn't going to duck out. I wasn't going to let you duck out. Nope. I was going to be like, if you would have been like, man, I don't know about this, I would have been like, sit down.
I think we've been willing to hold each other accountable, too.
Like, sit down.
That's the best part about a good friend is holding accountability.
Yeah. We actually had a conversation before this really, really got swinging about saying, like, look, I need accountability. Because I remember telling you, like, I felt like I let you off the hook one time. It was before we really got going.
Yeah.
And it was like you were having a rough day, and you just kind of said, I'm just not up for it.
Yeah.
And I remember telling you, I felt like I let you down in that moment.
Yeah.
We haven't had another moment like that since.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we came to that understanding of like.
Yeah, this is it.
No, we're
doing
this.
We've had a couple of things pop up, but it hasn't just been like, man, I'm not into it today.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that you would do if this was a hobby. That's the kind of actions you'd take. You'd be like, man, I don't know, bro. This just ain't working.
hobby time went out the window.
Yeah, hobby time went out the window.
Like, there's no hobby here. This is what we do, and this is our future. Not only our future, but our future for the kingdom and what we're doing for the kingdom. And we want to have people along with us that, that are support, not only supporting us, but hey, bro, stop with your stuff, man. Move on. Let's go. Come on. Pick it up. Let's go.
So I saw a, this has been several months ago, but I saw a post and it was a dude saying, I love you, bro. I want to see you with me in heaven. That stuck. That stuck because it's like, man, okay. Like you think about that. Like we, like how many, I don't know if you have any good friends. I have some really good friends that I love to death and I don't, not sure where they're at and how, shame on me. Like, how crappy is it of me to know that heaven is a real place and not be beating it down their throats to like, come on, bro. Like I want to see you with me. That's pretty shameful.
I mean, it sure feels that way. I would tell
you. I mean, it is. I mean, to me,
it feels that way. But the thing is you know, as well as I do, you can't shove anything down anybody's throat.
I was going to say at the same point, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink it. But you did your, you,
at least do your due diligence.
You did your goal. You did your part of leading them there. You showed them what can be. That's important.
Yeah.
But whether they take it or not, that's their decision. But you doing it, you pushing them down that path to help them is what your job is.
Yeah.
It's more than most people will do.
Oh, 100%. So going on about the accountability part, you can do your job by telling them what you have and what you can achieve and what comes of everything.
Yeah.
And like what Jesus can do for you. But you can't make them do it. I remember watching back from The Chosen, you know, if they didn't believe or didn't care to try to believe, Jesus did his part. He gave the information out. And if they didn't want to accept it, he moved on. When he told the disciples, when he gave them the freedom to heal people, he said, if the town doesn't want you there, to wipe the dust from your boots and move on. That's where it's...
Gosh, you know where we struggle, though? We don't know when to wipe our feet and walk away.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard, but I think that...
It's really hard with people you care about.
Yeah, gosh. It's
because you're afraid you didn't do enough.
Yeah.
No matter how far you go, when you think it might be time to walk away, you think, could I have done more?
Yeah.
What else can I do? And then you feel regret if you walk away without doing that.
But then you think about what Christ actually did.
Yeah.
And you realize how many people turn themselves away from that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a great transition into that video that we watched earlier about the explanation of what the Christ truly did.
The importance of it.
Mm-hmm. And so I would love to play that real fast. I think it's a couple minutes.
When I was 17, I was sitting in a prison cell in Rikers Island in New York. When I was facing a prison sentence for a weapons charge.
My you can see the emotion in his eyes too, I'm sorry.
Scratched up enough money to get a powerful Jewish attorney, watch this, who was friends with the judge. I'm facing time for a weapons charge. Now watch, that attorney.
Dude, okay, so first and foremost, I want that jacket.
The Fisher of Men jacket.
Fisher of Men.
Whoa. Hold up.
Dude, that jacket is sick.
I need to find my screenshot. There it is. I got a snippet.
How can you see that?
I've done this.
Well, it's far enough away from my face.
It's blurry for me.
No, it's far. It's far enough away from my face. So, like I said, like me, you, me, him, me there, that's cool.
Me this right cup? Here,
no.
He said, me, you, me, him, be there.
It's cool. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Dude, that's a sick jacket, though.
I'm going to hang on to that. I will put that.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
You know, I'm like the preschooler with his hand up, and you're immediately looking at me like, what is going on, dude?
You know.
Okay.
Go ahead. Just watching this, like you were saying, the emotion in his eye. That that just shows how much somebody believes and how grateful they are for what they've gotten.
Yeah, I think that
what the sacrifice has done.
I think what it shows you is the genuine nature of how they truly feel. What he's saying isn't just because he wants you to understand. What he's saying is something he feels in his heart, right?
Whether you understand it or not, that's what changed his life. That's correct. What made him a better man.
Correct.
Yeah.
Goes to the judge, has a conversation with that judge. All of a sudden, I'm set free. My code D has to do time. I walk out of that courtroom after I've been sitting there for some time, a free man, right? The only reason I was a free man was because my attorney had...
Hold on. I don't know if anybody noticed it, but he said my code D, my co-defendant...
Yes, co-defendant.
...got time. I got to walk away.
So is that the... the other person in the car?
Yeah. So there was someone else with him when he got the charges.
Relationship with the judge. Now watch, Neo. I was guilty of what I was charged.
That is almost perfectly the leave the 99.
Yeah, left the 99 for the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, almost perfectly.
He said, I was saved. The other was not.
The other was not.
That weapon was under my seat. That weapon was in our car. And I deserve to be sentenced for what I have done. But because my attorney had a relationship with the judge, a guilty man walked away free, although I was guilty. This is what God did for you and I with the person of Jesus Christ. I am a guilty man because of my sin, and so are you. And because of our sin, we deserve judgment. That is that sentence. But Christ, who is friends with the judge, has made a way for people to walk out of the courtroom. It's just that a lot of people don't take that exit out. Instead, they want to go to pay the price in front of the judge for themselves. And some people are going to say, oh, it's not fair for God to do that, right? Like, if God was good and if God was kind, he would never sentence people to hell. People would not. God doesn't sentence people to hell. Unbelief does. And some people are going to say, oh, God is mean. And God is, how can a loving God let people go to hell? Let me ask you a question, bro. Did I deserve to go to prison for that weapon charge? Yes. If I would have stood in front of the judge and be like, judge, I'm a good man. I love my wife and my kids. I've been going to church my whole life. I'm a good man. Judge, I believe you're a good man. What would the judge say to me? He would probably say, I am a good man. And okay, you're a good man. But because you're guilty, I still have to sentence you.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing before God. Our good behavior is not going to get us off. Our money is not going to get us off. Our prestige is not going to get us off. Any person who dies in sin, they have to deal with
it. It kind of reiterates the point that you can't do it through you.
Your accomplishments, your lively accomplishments don't have an effect your spiritual accomplishments.
Okay, Fisher of Men's Mechanic Jacket. Okay, no, I'm sorry.
I like that.
We're gonna. Is there a cost involved on this?
I don't know, but the internal clock in my brain was ticking.
We need sponsors so we can buy some jackets, please.
You got to find it before you forget it.
It's $100.
That's it. That's not too bad,
dude. This thing is freaking sick.
I'm more of a hoodie guy myself.
I like it. I'm cool without the hood. But what you were saying is... I love you, brother.
Why? What? He's ready to pull his card out and buy one right now. He's ready to
pull his card out and buy one right now.
I'm not.
No, not. maybe. No, it's the idea that... Look, your righteousness is not dependent upon you, right? You can make it about you if you want to, but good luck with that, right? And so when somebody asks you going forward, or me, or Jason, going forward, you're telling me this is the only way? This is the only religion? This is the only way? No, I'm not telling you that. But what I am telling you is without this way, it's all about you and good luck. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. Because without Christ, my brokenness stays broken because I don't have enough to atone. Jesus paid the atonement for me. And so, does it mean that I can do whatever I want and I can act however I want and I can say no? Absolutely not. Mm-mm. But God has convicted me to know when I'm wrong and I'm broken and I need to go back to him and go, I'm sorry. I messed up, man. Yeah,
that guilt,
sorry.
That guilt that you feel sometimes, like when you, like, you know, like, okay, like I'm going to take this back to a time in my life, when I was, you know, a horrible, horrible example of a human being. When addiction had such a strong hold on me, I was ruining other people's lives to get my fix.
Right.
You know, I was taking people with me that had never dabbled in that aspect of addiction. Like, they didn't even know anything about that. And I'm like, oh, you want to have a good time? Come with me.
Right.
And I'm ruining people's lives. And all the while, every single time I would, like, wake up the next morning or maybe a couple days later and just be like, dude, what am I doing? Like, why did I drag them down? And then to see, like, their lives crumble apart, like, people lose. I watched several people that I said were my friends, you know, like, oh, man, I'm there for you forever.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, a couple weeks later, I'm like, dude, get away from me. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I totally flipped their lives upside down, totally ruined their lives. I watch people lose marriages, lose belongings. I know belongings aren't important, but it is when you have a career and you need to get somewhere and your car's getting repoed right. because you're not paying your car payment because you're looking for the next fix. That's a horrible, horrible weight to carry. I single-handedly beat myself up, and then, you know, I'd wake up and I'd be like, dude, what am I doing? Like, what's wrong with me? If you don't feel that guilt, you are a dead soul, my friend. If you don't feel guilt or shame for doing things that harm other people's lives or harm right. your own life, I mean, you're dead inside.
You know, the crazy thing to me is, like, the closer I've gotten to Christ, like, even the smallest things, what seems like small things, right, like, to us, you know, because, like, we've dealt with people. And people are crappy, and they, like, hurt you in the most obvious ways, and sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, but the closer I get to Christ, the more I recognize that, like, even this little small innocent comment ends up being something that was actually damaging.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like what you were talking about yesterday. Even though I really didn't feel the way you felt like I probably felt, right? Yeah. But Christ was telling you, God was telling you, like, hey, bro,
yeah.
slow down there.
Ease up a little.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the craziest thing to me, because being sensitive does not mean being weak, okay? And that's where I think that people get this whole thing wrong. You're not supposed to allow people to run over you, but you're supposed to love them.
You are supposed to be caring.
And you're supposed to care. And yeah. you're supposed to feel sorry for them that they ran over you. You know what I mean? But we don't have that. We want that vengeance in us.
Yeah, that mental capacity is lacking in my life, I promise you.
Mine too. I have a hard time with it.
I might beat myself up for about 15 minutes, and then I'm really looking to
beat them
get
up?
My revenge. No, not necessarily. You know, like, I'm not.
Not physically.
It takes a lot for me to be to resort to violence. It really does take a lot. Like, I'm that dude. I would probably let someone punch me in the face and still be like, damn, dude, why'd you do that?
You know? You could do it to me.
Oh, yeah. But you can't touch my wife, or you can't hurt my wife's feelings. That's
I'll be honest with you. I would allow somebody to do that to me, but if you were standing next to me and somebody did that to you, I would have a hard time with that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's just it. That's the protective nature. I don't have it. Like, look, dude, I'm 44 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not the same cat I was back in the day. You know, like, I'm not that dude. I'm not the guy that...
I got about 18 seconds in me.
Yes, if that.
If I got 18 seconds, I'm having a good day.
Dude, I'm not that guy. You know, I will never pretend in front of anybody that I ever even was that guy. Look, there was a time when I had a short fuse, and I would fight for any reason at all, with no qualms about it, not nothing... I just didn't have the mental capacity to control myself. Now I realize that, dude, is it worth it? Like, physical violence, is it really worth it? Because nowadays,
never helped.
You don't know if you're, you mean, you're probably going to get shot now.
Now?
Oh, yeah.
Or you're going to get beat up by like five or six people.
There's no such thing as
fair anymore. I got jumped as a kid. I got the freaking crap kicked out of me.
Yeah.
And... Dude, it wasn't fun. Yeah, dude. And I'll tell you this: every single one of the ass whoopings that I took in my life, I started it. Exactly. It's the fights that I didn't start where I actually look like a friggin' rock star. You know what I mean? It's like, right, man. Everybody's like, damn, bro.
I didn't start it, but I finished it.
Yeah, but dude, the ones that I couldn't control my temper and, you know, I don't know how to act. I always. Got the raw end of that deal. I always look like the fool.
Right.
Threatening people, tell them, get out of the car, and then they beat the shit out of me. You know, like, everybody's like, you still wish they had got out of the car? No.
No,
I'm sorry. No.
You know, you're talking about the little things.
Yeah.
Little things as a perspective. Just because it might be, you know, like a minute thing being said. You know, it's like, oh, I said that, and it's a little thing. To the other person, that could be the one last feather.
Oh, man. Here we go again. The feather analogy. Have you heard the feather analogy?
I need to get my chair up a little higher because right now it's a little low.
So the feather analogy is, long time ago, I watched an animation.
From the beginning.
Yeah, I watched an animation. We talked about this moment the show started.
Yeah.
I watched this little animation, this little character, and he's like a goofy little cartoon character, and he's walking, and he's got this tote on his back. Mm-hmm. And just, they're dropping feathers. Like, as he's walking, just dropping feathers in it. And as he's going, like, you can see this thing filling up, and you can see, like, he starts, like, kind of perspirating, and you can see, like, his knees wobbling, and, like, mm-hmm. he's walking. And then he's trucking along just fine. There's one last feather that drops, and you see him just crumble. Mm-hmm. And it's the illustration is so perfect for like what we go through. You know, like this, like we sit there and we take it and take it and take it and take it and take it our whole lives. And the smallest, most minute, impractical inconvenience sets us off mm-hmm. or totally derails our plan or does something totally detrimental to our mental health, you know. That is exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. All it takes is that one feather, man.
That's all it is.
And you never know where somebody's at.
And you don't know where it's going to come from. And you don't know, like, you can only have 100 feathers in your basket. Mm-hmm. They got 3 tons worth of feathers in their basket.
On the same thing, flip the sides. You could also be the person that takes feathers off of it.
Oof, yeah.
By saying the right thing. Not, you know, being, having.
A little love.
Having the love. Yeah, showing the love.
Yeah.
I think a good rule to live by is you don't know when a lot of people are going to see a Bible. You need to be the Bible that they see.
You better take every opportunity you get.
Yeah, right? Just, you know, represent.
I think that's
do the right things. I mean,
yeah.
If you see someone struggling, rather than act out and be a instigator or something like that, just kind of like calm down, be there, be an adult. You know, like,
hey man, kill him with kindness.
That got said to me right up here too. By the way, that's what was said to me. Like, be an adult. I was like, oh.
What it is to just remember this, buy this, Everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Right? That's the scripture. That's what Christ told the disciples. Love each other, and everyone will know that you are my disciples. Yeah. Right? The greatest command is to love God first, right? The second greatest command, which is equal to, not less than, equal to, is to love others. Right? And everything else is all in line with just loving each other and loving God. You know what I mean? Everything else all falls in line.
Have you seen, I don't know what episode it is, but it's season four when Peter forgives Matthew?
I haven't got that far.
Spoiler alert.
Dude.
Spoiler alert. Bro.
I haven't got to the point, I already know, but I haven't got to the point with Rhema either.
Dude.
Thomas and Rhema, don't tell me yet, please. I already know, no, but don't tell me.
The forgiveness scene.
With Peter, who was really, really hard on Matthew from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because dude. Peter is a justice guy. That's why he pulls out the sword and slices his own boy's ear
and
off.
He runs to him and hugs him. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's cool to see it played out like that. Like,
dude, like we don't know that the Bible doesn't lay it out like that. So what's what I love about the show is they put the human aspect into it.
Bro, their relationships look just like ours.
Yeah.
Minus technology.
Yeah, 1,000%. They're walking around eating wheat off the shaft and all that. You know what I mean? Like, they're like
getting in trouble.
Like, and they're like, Father, can we? They're like, the Father, can we eat?
He's like, go ahead.
They're like, we're starving. And I'm sitting there watching what they're doing. They're like picking wheat off, and they're like, and I'm like, that's not food, bro. That's not food.
I need some meat.
I need some substance. You know what I mean? Like, I need something with some rib sticking thickness. You know what I mean? Like, right. Yeah, can I get a McRib or
a McCrib?
Yeah. But
it's funny.
You go to those kind of times. They're so, it's such a humbling experience to watch, first and foremost, because like those dudes. Man, they were rock stars, and they were. I mean, I hate to say this because I know envy is like so frowned upon, but I'm so envious that they had the opportunity to walk and talk with Christ, dude. I know this is gonna sound really foolish, but dude, I think I could take being tortured, boiled in oil. I think I could take that to walk and talk
with him.
Knowing what you know now.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I could. I mean, I would be more than willing to sign up for that.
Something that I'm recognizing, if you read through scripture and you read through the personalities of Thomas and Peter and Matthew and Luke and, you know, and of course Luke wasn't a disciple, but you know what I'm saying. If you read through the scripture and you pay attention to their personalities, you know every single personality type is somebody that's existing right now, right?
Yes.
There's the doubting Thomas. Mm-hmm. There's Peter, who's all about justice, and you know what I mean? And Matthew, who's like, oh my gosh, you chose me? You know what I mean? Like, every single person who is a key player is a personality that exists right now, and we all fall into that category, one of those categories somewhere. And I'm saying all this not having done any research. We probably should, actually. It's a good idea to thinking about what I'm talking about, like studying each of the disciples and the major players in the New Testament about their personalities and how we all kind of fall into one of those categories. And what it does to me is it makes my mind reach back 2,000 years before I even existed and go, I was there. Not physically, but there's a part of me that was there.
Yeah.
My personality was there, and God took care of that part of my personality there. Go ahead, Jason. You have something over there.
So I have something.
Okay.
I just Googled each disciple's key role. Just for kicks and giggles.
Grins.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The 12 disciples of Jesus each played a key role in spreading the Christian message. Peter, often seen as the leader Andrew, obviously the one who introduced Peter to Jesus. James and John, considered the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
For their passionate nature. While Matthew, a former tax collector, brought a unique perspective to the group. Judas Iscariot, we all know his key role. He's known for betraying Jesus. John, often referred to as the
one who Jesus loved.
Often referred to as the beloved disciple. Where'd the rest of it go? Dude, I clicked on it to show more and it went erased blank. It.
I see it.
Dude, like it stopped. Like it I clicked stopped. Show more and it stops.
You know, talking about their roles though, it's they all had their different personalities. None of the 12 yeah. were alike. Not exactly alike.
Not exactly. Each
you know what I mean?
Of course, James and John were brothers, so obviously they were different.
Yeah, you know and I mean? everybody had their different personalities. They all had their role though in Jesus's walk.
Yeah.
You know who I have a soft spot for is Matthew.
Of course.
And the only reason why is watching through the chosen.
Sure. When, sure.
And Jesus is like, "Come follow me." And he's like, he has that excited, like, you know, like when the ice cream truck drives by and the little kid's like waving their dollar running after him. That's how Matthew looks. He's yeah. like, me? Like, he's yes. so excited. It's like, yes. it's like he's watching him walk by and he's like, I got to get some of that, you know, and he's yeah. bolting out of his booth, leaving a very lucrative job.
Easy life.
Doesn't
Easy
even think life. Twice.
No, no. He's like, he's gone. And he points at himself. He's like, me? And he's like,
sweet. Heck
God.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's funny that it ended up turning into this conversation. Not funny. This is exactly God. This is what we've talked about so many times. But from the beginning tonight, I wanted to talk about the body of Christ and how it's one body and each has its own part, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes we devalue ourselves
yes.
in our relationship, mm-hmm. right? So this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I just want to kind of read through it. Starting in verse 12, there's one body, but it has many parts, but all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. And it didn't matter whether we were Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were all given the same Spirit to drink. So, the body is not made up of just one part. It has many parts. Suppose that the foot says, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as he wanted it to be. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there's only one body. And I think that obviously there's a reason why that came to mind through conversations that you and I have had, brother,
yeah.
about, like, look, each other's importance is different. Each other's purpose is different, but equally important.
So can I read? So can I? I want to read something to you because you're talking about the body of Christ.
Yes, sir.
So I have it right here. This is, it's just Christian theology with the term body of Christ. The Apostle Paul used the metaphor of the body of Christ to describe the church. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth saying that we were all baptized into one body. The church is made up of many parts. This comes into play here.
Correct.
Each with different skills, purposes, but all working together to fulfill the church's mission.
100%.
That's
exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You have a purpose. It's different from mine. You have a purpose. It's different from mine.
Yeah.
But the mission stays the same,
yeah.
right? You just fulfill a different role. but none is greater than the other. Remember how John and James, ooh, maybe you don't know this, how John and James went to Christ and were like, hey, Christ, just promise us that we get to be on your right and on your left. And he was like, you don't know what you're asking me right now.
Mm-hmm.
No. You get to be where you are, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. You're a part of it, and you're doing it. What's up? I see a grin.
It's not time.
it may be time.
Go ahead, Ronnie.
So I don't know if this is like a wild way to think about it.
Nope.
But, you know, God has the earth with all of its people, all 7 trillion. Is that right? Trillion or billion?
Trillion. I think it's billion. It's
billion. 7 billion.
7 billion. All 7 billion.
It's almost
people.
8 billion. Actually, it's like 7 point something. It's high. It's 7.77 or 7.75.
The point is that his goal is that we all have our own purpose. We're all like puzzle pieces.
Mm.
He's trying to, his goal is to finish the puzzle.
8.0
everybody together.
An 8 billion piece puzzle.
8.062 billion. That was in 2023.
Everybody together.
Together.
Ooh. Create the puzzle.
Create the biggest puzzle.
The beautiful picture of what God has for us.
Okay.
Wow.
So.
What a beautiful image of the bigger picture, mm-hmm. right? We all think about this small piece of the picture. Go ahead, brother. Do your thing, bro.
Why don't skeletons fight each other?
I don't know.
They don't have the guts.
You thought my joke was terrible last night.
Do you remember when, what day was it? There was one, I think it was a Monday. We said a dad joke and everybody laughed except for Harley.
Harley,
do you remember that?
Harley doesn't understand them yet.
I said, you don't know it. Yeah. You'll get there.
Everybody in our group is a dad except for Harley.
Yep.
He doesn't understand the significance of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the divorce rate between my socks is astonishing.
I'm looking. Give me a second. I'll find something.
It's those don't make sense. They do.
They do.
You just don't
they
understand.
Do. I don't know that this even remotely pertains, but. Rumi, his name is Rumi, R-U-M-I. The quieter you become, the more you're able to hear.
Read that to me, please, one more time.
Yes, sir. The quieter you become, the more you are able to hear.
Wow.
Maybe that's not the one today.
It is the one.
You can't listen if you're talking.
Exactly.
You damn sure
can. So take the significance of that. Like you really have to.
Yeah, lay hold.
That's what I'm saying. Like read it to me again.
It speaks about the power of the tongue.
Yes.
The quieter you become, the more you are able to hear.
Yeah. If you're off in the distance, you know, off out yonder way. You know what I mean?
Like off out yonder way.
And you're yelling at scarecrows and acting like a, you know, acting all foolish, and someone is trying to speak some wisdom, you're not going to hear them.
Yeah. You better be paying attention because
you got to pay attention.
People come from, that's why it's called bumper sticker wisdom, because you know, wisdom comes from a lot of places. Go ahead, bro.
You know, it's not even just verbal quietness. Sometimes it's.
The mental quietness.
Mental quietness.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one more thing that I want to add to this. Reaching out for help. The importance of reaching out for help is you cannot shake hands with a clenched fist.
You remember that message at church? You remember that message where he was talking about you can't receive from a closed fist?
He's holding
fist?
His hands like this and they're dumping all the change in his hands and it's spilling everywhere?
Yeah.
This is it.
That's exactly it.
Indira Gandhi.
Indira Gandhi.
That one we watched. The monkey.
Yes.
Oh,
100%.
Play that.
Oh, okay.
Dude, this is right. So exactly freaking perfect.
What that was.
Dude,
you cannot.
Attaboy. High five, my guy. You cannot.
From a clenched fist.
You can't. And this is 1,000% perfect explanation why you need to keep your hand open and not closed. God.
Then you have to be baptized to get saved.
Hang on for a sec. I just thought about this. Having the closed fist.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with, you know, what it's going to go on to say, that you can't receive more without opening up.
Yeah. You also can't save yourself.
That's mm-hmm. right.
You cannot save yourself. And the analogy is fixing to be explained here.
Unless you let go.
Yeah.
This is a great descriptor of that. And I appreciate the connection that you're making.
You have another passion description.
We're going to have you back a little more, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
This has been freaking great.
Faith without works is dead. So that seems, in your mind, in your ears, that seems to mean that you have to work for your salvation. And you have another passage of scripture that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It says it is no works. So you roll the dice and you say, well, it's this one. I believe this is it. This is what you have to do. And you're wrong. Whichever one of the three that you believe in, you're wrong. Because you've rolled the dice, because you did not go to Christ in prayer and say, what does this mean? What does this mean? God lays out scripture and you say, okay, I'll take it from here. I've got it. I know what it means.
How shameful.
How shameful.
I don't, you don't.
I was going to say before we get to the monkey, the importance of that is, it, like he said, going in prayer, it's not a guessing game. It's not a, you know, chance game. It's seeking out the answers and you will find.
Yeah. That goes back to a scripture that I've shared a couple times recently about seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you, right? It, like, you have to be intentional about seeking the answer. Mm-hmm. You can't just expect the answer to just fall in your lap all the time. Although God is good and he allows that to happen, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes he allows truth bombs to be landed in your lap. It's not always that way.
It shows how much it's in your hands.
Right. You have some level of control in this situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not at that point. And I'd spend hours studying, praying before God and saying, God, the Bible does not contradict itself. I cannot take this passage and ignore this passage. They have to fit together and you have to fit them together. That's always going to make sense. In Africa, there was hunters who hunt monkeys, all right? And they would take a tree or a tall stump or a termite mound, and they would bore a small tunnel, just big enough for a monkey to get their hand in that tunnel, okay, go in. And then at the end of that little bored out hole, it would make a bigger chamber. And then it would put two or three seeds or nuts or marbles or stones, whatever they had, in that little chamber at the end. And a monkey's watching them, and when they leave, the monkey comes in, he sticks his hand in there to see what's going on, and gets into that bigger chamber, and he opens up his hand, and he feels those three or four little nuts, whatever they put in there. And he'll grab them. But he can't pull his hand back out. Because when you grab them, his fist gets too big, and the hole's too small. And the hunter can just walk up to him. And he's screaming and he's screeching and he's chattering and he's flopping around, but he will not let go of those three little prizes he found in there. And so he's trapped by his own stubborn obstinacy and his refusal to let it go. And the hunter gets him. That's how we study scripture. We find two or three verses in this letter hole, and we go in there and we grab them. That's all we got. We can't even see them. We can't even see what they really are. The monkey doesn't even know what he's got a hold of. Not for real. And then destruction comes upon us. And what we do is we screech and we scream and we chatter and we jump up and down about how precious these three seeds we have are. But we will not let them go in our stubbornness and our obstinacy and our pride. And we are destroyed for holding on to these little seeds. The only way you're going to be able to justify scripture with scripture, and the only way you're going to be able to understand what scripture says and to not be chained and bound by verses that you cannot tie with other verses.
Open your hand.
Is if you let them go.
Open your hand.
You let them go. And you say, Jesus, if you want me to have that, if you want me to understand that, show it to me, reveal it to me,
yeah,
and give it to me.
God has the answer.
We have a church full of screeching, screaming monkeys.
Oh, man. Okay, so.
Who do not understand what they have a hold of.
No, no, you're good. I want to read this comment just because that's a beautiful way of saying it. Works are not a means of salvation, but a consequence of being saved. Mm. You shall know them by their fruits.
Yeah.
Ah.
It's been a great conversation.
This has been an awesome evening, gentlemen. I really love where everything went tonight.
I think Ronnie needs a little props, bro. Like, he connected a lot of dots for us today.
Really, you really kind of helped lift us up. I'm just the closer.
I'm just living in your world, man.
No.
I'm just happy to be here.
You're a leader amongst men, all right? Stop it. Don't do that to yourself.
A fisher of men.
Oh, you are a fisher of men.
I was going to show you that. Dang it. Crap.
It's never perfect, is it?
No.
The passion.
Good gosh.
It's all right.
Dude.
We got many more episodes to go.
No, I wanted to show you the back of that jacket. The back of that jacket's even cooler. Mm. It says be disciples.
Well, turn it around. Let me see it.
I know, but I freaking already turned it off.
Oh, here.
That's
what
I was like.
Tell me what to look up.
It's the fish. Go to Google and do the Fishers of Men jacket, bomber jacket.
It was a mechanic's jacket, wasn't it?
A mechanic's jacket.
Yes, Fishers of Men.
Mechanic's jacket. And you got to do the blue one because the black one's sold out, but do the blue one and you can scroll over on the picture and see the back side of it. It says make disciples or be disciples.
You know, we're talking about liking it. We're not talking about why.
What?
We talk about liking it and like saying it, but you know, people listening might not know what Fishers of Men mean.
Oh, I see it. Explain it, Ronnie.
The way I remember it, like what comes into my head is, once again, go back to The Chosen, when Peter is fishing, can't find no fish, he's in bad shape.
Yeah.
And when he comes shore, Jesus is teaching, and he says, you know, cast your net one more time, and he catches more fish than you could ever imagine.
Yes.
Right.
And when
he's like, throw it off the other side of the boat.
He says, how do I repay you? And he said, be a fisher of men. He said, find people and lead them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Lead them down the righteous path.
Yes! That is the coolest thing ever, dude. That is a freaking cool jacket, dude.
It's too bad that can't be a bumper sticker. Wisdom's jacket, damn it.
I mean, if you put a bumper sticker Wisdom under it, does that overwrite copyright.
There's going to be some copyright because it says this is Bold Apparel. This is Bold Apparel.
Oh, it's there.
So what I'm doing right now is we're not trying to take any claim. We're not trying to be boastful or any of this. This is it's a brand of jacket. It's Bold Apparel Shop. This is the jacket that I was
such
talking
a cool.
About. This is a jacket. This is an awesome, awesome, Fisherman awesome jacket.
Make disciples. Yes. And the idea that you just brought up about how, like, you know, I'm out here fishing and I'm fishing and I'm fishing and I'm doing it by myself, mm-hmm. right? I'm just doing it by myself. I'm doing it by myself. And I keep coming up empty and I keep coming up empty. And then I invite Jesus into it. And guess what? I come back with a load
tenfold.
That is so big that it almost took the boat under, mm-hmm. right?
Dude, the black so cool. one is sold out in every single size.
He's really upset about that.
He's very upset about this.
I want one too.
I want one.
Oh, yeah.
I am super, super, super bummed out.
The black one will be back someday.
Yeah.
I want.
Well, and of course, it's $50 off right now if you buy it, and they're sold out of every single friggin' size.
Of course. Why do you think they're sold out?
Yeah.
They're on sale.
Yeah. We need some bumper sticker wisdom stuff to sell out like that.
We need something like that, dude.
Like the jacket or the web page?
No, just no. Man, we don't need a website.
Just to put it out there.
You'll buy from us immediately.
Our
directly.
Yeah, our
hands on.
Look, man, here's how I feel. If it's meant for us to sell merchandise, like, you know, we're gonna call it the Field of not Dreams. You don't want to call it the Field of Dreams, but you want to call it the Field of Disciples. Build it and they will come. Mm-hmm. We create things and people will buy them. You saw how fast everything flipped out last night. We've had all that stuff for sale for how long?
A minute.
And it's visible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number one of two.
Hat, shirt, stickers. We've had all that stuff forever. And then it's visible to everybody walking in, and they're like, oh, how much is that? It's like, dude, we've been trying to shove this crap down your throat for freaking the last
8 months.
Yeah, longer. Well, yeah, about eight, 9 months. We've been trying to sell that stuff.
Yeah.
Now you come in and you see it, and it's tangible, and you can touch it. Now it's all of a sudden it's intriguing. No. If we start hanging jackets on the wall and stuff, people are going to be like, oh, dude, I got to have
one of them jackets.
It's like the 1,000%. Like the candy at Walmart as you're walking by the cashier.
Yeah,
you're like, I see it. Now I want it.
Yeah, right at the front.
Right there where you're
right by the cashier.
Yeah, right now. So right now, we really got to watch out when we take my son to Walmart because
mm-hmm.
all the trading cards, like the football trading cards or something right there.
And
he's just starting to get into that.
Bro.
And so, like, we walk by and he's like, hey, Dad. And I'm like, what?
That's $50, bro.
You know what that means.
He's like, they have a box of cards over here.
You're like, shut up.
So I'm like, okay. I go over there and I'm looking. I'm like, oh, man, those are really cool. There's an autographed one. There's one autographed card in every box.
Yeah.
He's like, do I have $35 in my account? Won't matter if you do or not, bro. I'm interested too. Like, Dad's gonna pick up this tab.
I got you. Oh man. Hey, you know what? That's kind of a cool commentary about how God picks up our tab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And just kind of bring the whole conversation back to full fruition. Man, God is so good. And he's so faithful, and I'm so thankful. And I just want to take 2 more seconds to just gloss up everything that he's done. Like, I promise you, 14 months ago, 15 months ago, when we started this journey, we never pictured this. And here we are.
We scrapped so many episodes. At one point, I was like, man, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be real honest with everybody that's listening, with you two. We had scrapped so many episodes that I was at the point where I was like, dude, this ain't going to work out.
Yeah.
Because we would record one. It's like, nah, we can't drop that one. And we record another one. Like, oh, man, I don't know.
I remember the day we recorded our first actual episode that got released. I looked at him and I said, hey, are you sure that's the one? And he went,
nope.
No words. He just shook his head. And I said, this is the one right here. And we did it.
You know, that's where you got to have faith. That's where your faith plays in.
Yeah.
Is either even in situations that you don't think that it's right or what needs to happen. You know, if it's, you have to have faith in your decision.
Yeah.
Look, if we are going to be an example for anybody, the example is even when you are doubting what you're doing, if you know it has a purpose, you gotta see it through.
Yep. Just keep going, yeah, bro.
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. This has been a great episode.
I'm going to end that on that one. But
this has been a great episode.
Yes,
Ronnie, thank you so much for bringing such insight and for being a part of the journey from the start. You may not even know how much you fit into that journey from the beginning, but here you are.
Yeah.
And we're in this
cool space. We had an awesome conversation. Gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank our listeners. More importantly, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Without him, none of this is possible. For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, this has been an amazing journey.
Yes, sir.
I'm Jason.
I'm John.
I'm Ronnie.